5:46 in the morning, crack of dawn.
6 in the morning.
It's an hour before 7 and I'm right there.
It's 6 o'clock, I'm hopping out of the bed.
So wake up!
Hello everybody and welcome to The Morning After. I'm Dusty, I've got Benny and Lukey with me. How are we, lads?
Good. Exhausted after that game, but good.
Yelling at the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, Benny, as we said, you'd be slightly more chipper.
A little bit more chipper than last... than last
3 weeks ago or whatever it was, yeah.
Azza's picked a shit episode to miss.
He has, because we've got to go back to Queensland next game and it's like, oh, probably going to lose that.
So he's having one of those, like kind of post-dates really, wasn't it? When you know, had a couple of beers. Isn't that what you said, D-Lane, like a couple of weeks ago when I missed the morning after? You're like, oh, I've had a couple of beers. Is that what's happened to Azza?
Yeah, possibly. Right. Had a couple of beers, had to get on a plane. Yeah, but look, you can't review a game you never watched because you're asleep and having a bit of a tanty, so we couldn't have used him anyway. But he was quiet in the second half. Maybe he just saw us fall to water and just packed it in for the night.
Yeah, look, as a New South Wales supporter, we did not need to say much in that second half.
He missed the last four
tries. The boys
have
got it from here. Yeah, the boys have got it from here. No, very good, very good. So, look, thank you for joining us, listeners. No surprises. We're doing this directly after the game. We're coming in hot and just trying to provide a bit of live post-game reaction while it's nice and fresh and raw. So, yeah, look, last time, Benny, after the loss in game one, I kind of threw to you and Azza to get a bit of bit of raw emotion out of you guys. And, Lukey, I might do that for you this time and just kind of see where you're sitting after that, because it was fairly comprehensive in the end. And, you know, we'll get to a few different turning points in the game throughout the course of the potty. But all in all, I thought we were flat to start the game. We scored a couple of cracking tries, which to me both felt like they were against the run of play a little bit when we scored them. And then after that 10 minutes in the bin, you could just tell that we were gassed and we never really recovered from that. Is that a fair assessment, mate? How'd you see it?
Yeah, 100%. It definitely felt like that. It felt like New South Wales once again had the better of the first half, but, you know... The fact that they only led by 2 points at half time probably was an indictment on how well Queensland defended. But again, those tries came against the run of play when New South Wales really had the momentum and we just pulled a bit of individual brilliance out of our asses, really. But I did like the Ben Hunt at lock thing. I think that that's what helped us stay in the game, to be fair, just having that extra leg speed around the ruck. But then, you know, half time happened and a different side come out in the second half. I think just not having Kaufusi really took it out of us. And yeah, the sin binning, I just didn't think that it it was necessary because he'd blown 3-6 again penalties. So how many do you blow before you've been a bloke? You can't just keep blowing them because it's Origin. So in that regard, he had to. But fuck, that was some soft six agains, man. Fuck, they were just like, he was just trigger happy. And I'm like, this is not Origin. Because then before that, nothing. After that, nothing. It was just this real weird feel for the game in that moment. I was just like, nah, this is not it. That's not it. And then once he'd blown 3 or 4, I was like, yeah, next one, someone's going to go here. He has to. Boom. And he's got to go. So real poor performance in that little section there from Klein, I thought. But, you know, it is what it is. We'd given away 3. We had to then go, all right, we've given away 3 here. Let's not fucking ruin this and send someone to the bin. And we just couldn't help it. Our discipline was poor from that point on. So sort of that's our fault there.
Yeah, a bit of a turning point. I think you're right in a sense where, you know, someone did have to get binned, but it was the lead-up penalties. And wasn't one of the penalties, though, not an obstruction penalty, an escort?
Yeah, that was the first one that got him down there. And then there was two six agains in a row, and it was just like, oh, I can feel this coming. But yeah, you just go, oh, it's Origin.
I don't think it helped. Like, I understand that he blew a six. He gave a 6 again, and that would have been the end of it, except for the fact that Kaufusi continued to lay on Paulo. He stayed there, and he stayed there. After he blew 6 again, he stayed there, and he stayed there. And I was like, what else did you do? You blow a penalty.
100%.
You can't blow another 6 again.
And that's what I was saying. Like, he's gone 2 6 agains before that. And I thought they were the soft ones because they happened so quickly. And I'm like, fuck off. That's bullshit. But once that's happened, you go, all right, let's just fucking not give away anything else. And you're right. Kaufusi just lay on him. And it's a Kaufusi thing to do. He's got that penalty in him. And he just didn't have any situational awareness to what was going on.
If he'd got up when Klein called 6 again the third time, got up and let Paulo play the ball, it would have been fine.
100%.
But I don't have too much of a problem with that because, again, with all those 6 agains, and I was the same, I kind of felt like he didn't warn us, but the 5-6 agains before that, or 4-6 agains, is probably warning enough, right? you got to know that this day and age, after that many, someone's gone. And then when he sent him, I was like, yeah. So I don't have too much of a problem with the Kaufusi thing, especially considering it was a double up there too. It was just what happened, like you said, Lukey, what happened before that seemed a little bit harsh. But look, at the end of the day, I think we've got to kind of tip our hats to New South Wales here in the sense that, look, it was a complete dismantling in the end of it, considering how close the first half was. Very odd that the game would end up like that after such a telling first half. But lads, a pretty key stat out of this one, and I reckon this would have to go close to an Origin record. Queensland missed 60 tackles in that game, which is massive. That's huge.
50 of them were on fucking Brian Tor or Matt Burton.
It pretty much was.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some of the best performers of the game, but To'o was so hard to handle for us. He was impossible to handle. His post-contact meters were through the roof, but New South Wales had 61% of possession too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that might even be a record for Origin. Like, that is such a lot of football. It's amazing. And again, when 10 minutes of that is against 12 players in Origin, pretty hard to kind of come back from that, physical deficit, especially in the Origin arena.
Benny?
Yeah, obviously we've all got our own thoughts on the sin binning. As you said, the lead-up penalties might have been a bit soft. An escort penalty shouldn't really count towards your little running tally of infringements close to the line. But as you said, 2 in a row, and then the 6 again, and then Kaufusi just laid there. It kind of, I think that's what got it done. But I thought New South Wales were pretty average in the first half, and I thought it was a lot to do with James Tedesco trying to overplay his hand. I just thought he was trying to do too much, and I don't know whether he changed boots at halftime, but he was one of the only players that's like, he was slipping every time he had the ball, slipped when he was turning the kick, slipped in attack, like he was just all over the place. And thought in the second half, he came out and sort of took a step back, let the Penrith players do their job, and chimed in with his, you know, his tackle busting in yardage sets and sort of creating overlaps. And like, he did some really good things on his kick returns, of giving Tor some space, which obviously led to those a lot of tackle busts. So I think in James Tedesco stepping back and doing less, he actually did more for the team, which kind of showed in the way that we started to play off the front foot a bit better. And yeah, obviously scored a lot of points.
All I've got to say is that it's disappointing for me that Queensland lost, and especially in that manner in the second half after the first half. But I take a little bit of salvation personally out of all the cunts on fucking social media that were giving it to the fucking Penrith players that were selected in that New South Wales team for 2 weeks, saying that, you know, it was the fact that there were so many of them in the side and, you know, we couldn't play Penrith football and shit like that. Cunts, you fucking played Penrith football and look at the result. You actually went to your strengths and you took fucking Tedesco out of it and made him an auxiliary player, which he should be in that fucking all-star team that it is, and look at the results. So fucking go stick your dicks back in your mouth and shut up and fucking go and watch game 3.
Look, do you want any name and shames? Just
There's a few.
Got the pitchfork and the tiki torch out, mate. He's coming.
Yeah. He's going to burn some people.
100%. 100%.
Watch it burn.
And bag of dicks.
I will agree with you there too. I think in terms of their attack, look, Cleary had one of the best games of any kind of Origin half ever tonight, to be fair. Like, he was...
Do you reckon he matched Munster from game one?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
in the second
yes.
half, for sure. Easy. Like, he was probably better in the second half. I just thought he had a fairly quiet first half, which I believe also
kick
had...
for Burton's first try.
Yeah, kick for Burton's first try was good, but I thought he could have probably... maybe it was a fresh Queensland cutting down his time a little bit again, like they did in the first game, but in the second half, with that loss of Kaufusi, I think they were a little bit gassed, and the defensive efforts weren't there to shut him down as much in the second half. It kind of gave him a bit more free rein to get his kicks right and obviously take the line on.
By the end of it, he was playing downhill. You know, I think we're probably Munster's performance just has the edge on Cleary. Only just is that it was a very tight game. And you know, no, it was a bit more of an arm wrestle. Like, at 26-12, you know...
Well, it was all front foot footy then.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, I mean, that's the only difference. But, look, you know, he's good enough to take advantage of a... tiring, poor Queensland team at the time. So, yeah, had a cracking game. Look, others that I think we spoke about, Brian To'o before, was fantastic. So, you know, his yardage work was just relentless, and he was so hard to handle. So, yeah, look, some of the other key stats from the game that are interesting. I mean, obviously the post-contact meters from the Blues, 609 to Queensland's 315. I think the big one is obviously Queensland missing 60 tackles. Does that seem ridiculously high, especially for an Origin?
Look, I checked those stats. Like, I reckon I checked those stats with probably maybe 8-9 minutes to go, and they'd only missed like 40 tackles. And so the fact that they've gone up another 20 tackles in like 8 or 9 minutes, to me, just seems a little bit ridiculous. But who knows? Like, you got to think a substantial amount of tackles have been missed for you to concede 44 points. So if it's not 60, it's 45, which is, you know, shit house anyway. So, yeah, 60 might be inflated, but it's still not going to be a good figure, whatever it is. So, yeah. And look, you know, those stupid Teddy Crabs across field where he just knocks someone's hands away, they count those as tackle busts, you know, where the contact's made. And I watched a run where he did that 3 times and then he just jutted back and then passed it. And I'm like, you wouldn't think of tackle busts there, but he was just swatting hands away. And I'm like, yep, they would count that. So
I think there's a lot of people out there that have got to eat their words about how bad Jake Trbojevic was going to be. I'm included. I thought he was actually half decent.
Defensively, he was good, but again,
I still thought the addition of having that passing game as well, just being able to tip on out the back. You know, a lot of other props don't have that that in their game, and he was sort of doing that playing in the front row rather than at lock.
Yeah, and I think, look, to be fair, he's got experience in that role. He can play big minutes if needed. He's not going anywhere. He's won the game of footy. I still really didn't think much of his contribution for you guys. I thought Cam Murray was outstanding. On that edge, he just looked like he was going to slice through every time he got the footy. And obviously the Penrith players. Has Jerome Luai had a bad game for New South Wales? Like, I can't remember him having a bad game for New South Wales, Jerome Luai. I think even in losses, even in the first year he played, so this is year three for him, yeah?
I think last year was his first year, was it? Was last year his first year? Maybe the year before.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, maybe last year was his first year. But anyway, he's just played well every time he's put that jersey on. In game one, I thought he was probably top three for you guys easily. And again, this game, Cleary had a fucking outstanding game, but Jerome Luai's game was... It's kind of like Munster and DCE in game one, or Munster and Val Holmes. It was right there, I thought.
Must have been last year was his first, because he only had three appearances.
Right. Tonight being the fourth?
No, that was before tonight. Appearances before tonight.
Yeah, okay, so last year was his
first. I'd say two games last year. Did he miss a game last year?
Nah, well, he must have played all three.
Yeah, okay. Well, it just says career appearances, three.
Yep.
So, 2021, played 2-1-2.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, fair call. So, look, moving on, lads. Lukey, changes for game three. What do we need? And it may not be in bringing players in, but even, sub-rotations or, where do we need to go? Do we need to change what we're doing?
Well, we need to get Kate Will the fuck away from that side. Like, honestly, he is doing nothing, and he did nothing last year as well. He gives us versatility in covering centre, and that's his best attribute. It's like you had one good season in 2020 in the unlosable series for New South Wales. He was great in that series. But even as a first grader, he's been mid at best since then, and he just contributes nothing to Queensland. He didn't in the win in the first game, and if Fifita's back, man, he's got to come back into that side for at least 60 minutes. I would much rather Fifita being on there doing nothing than Kurt Capewell being on there doing nothing, because at least Fifita's got fucking top end and potential to bust the game open. Kurt Capewell doesn't. So at least put Fifita in the side, and if he does nothing, fuck it, who cares? We're not getting any worse than have Kurt Capewell there. But he can bust the game open, so...
Yeah. Is it just me, or does Kurt Capewell look fatigued in the fifth minute? You just see him, and the cunt is dragging himself around the footy field. You're like,
hasn't had a lot of game time this year, man. He is not match fit. But yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel that.
And he played 62 minutes too. Like, he's chewing minutes up off other blokes like, Nanai and Tino playing 39 and Papali'i playing 27. So you got Kurt Capel out there playing a lion's share of minutes, and all these other blokes who are good to go just sitting on the pine.
And you know what? I'd probably possibly... Look, they're not going to get rid of him totally, right? So they're going to go to the bench. But if it was up to me, I would get rid of him, and I'd bring Tommy Gilbert in. You know, another middle. You know, Nanai can play minutes. So it's Felice and Dave Fifita starting. We've got Nanai there to do a 15-minute stint for Fifita. And Tommy Gilbert plays through the middle for Ruben Cotter, you know what I mean? Like, just some, good leg speed, tough in the middle. Yeah, just, I don't know, Capewell's it for me. I thought our back seven were fantastic again tonight, especially for the first half. Val Holmes was great. Gagai had a lot of good contributions defensively. Murray Taulagi, apart from that dropped bomb that led to the New South Wales try, which was kind of the start of the avalanche, But apart from that, he was great. His yardage work was really good. He had a lot of carries and a lot of real fucking tough carries off his own try line. Didn't shirk it. But, yeah, a lot of good performances. So I'd say the Capewell thing's the only thing that I'd change.
Fair call. I thought Cobbo, he made that error really close to the try line. And I expected to see him go back into his shell. But as you touched on, Lukey, he had a couple of really nice carries after that. Showed that he hadn't taken a hit to his confidence at all. So he was quite good there. Look, for me, I think I'm probably the same. I actually even think Jai Arrow would do a better job on the edge than Capewell, unfortunately. Because at least he hits the ball with speed. I've never understood
why Capewell...
I think, I don't know, there's probably a couple of blokes that have ahead of Firmer, but...
Well, but the thing is, Firmer covers centre and he's faster than Capewell.
Yeah, he's a line runner. So. I've never understood a guy being an early ball player, like Capewell is, he's not a line runner, he's an early... But he's got nothing. Like, he's got a custard step. That's what he's got. He's got a custard step.
He does.
You got to give him early ball, but it's only just because he doesn't do anything else. I don't understand the appeal to him at the moment. He's starting to play. Yeah, it's starting to pass him by, I think, a little bit. But look, I thought, yeah, we were just fatigued. I thought Munster didn't really grab the game by the reins until probably late in that first half. I mean, he obviously scored that try backing up, which is fantastic, but I just really didn't see him dominate and get his hands on the ball. A lot of it went through Cherry Evans, but I guess, again, at a 39% possession rate, you know, you're probably just consolidating and trying to get yourself out of trouble for most of that time. Benny, New South Wales, mate, I mean, this is probably a little bit of a silly question, but they probably don't need to make any changes. But what did you make of the, we didn't see Appy come back on after that first kind of 25 to 30 minute stint, I think it was. I guess they didn't have to bring him back on because of the position that the game was in and the scoreboard pressure that you guys had on us. But what do you make of that, mate? Pass, fail?
Oh, it was a pass. I just think the Appy thing was... he played the steady hand while we were out there. Cookie got out there, and as Cookie came out, we sort of started to play a little bit more front foot footy. We were a little bit quicker. And I just think as we kept rolling through the second half while you guys were missing Kafusi, and then we obviously got on the front foot and the points started coming, I just don't think there was any need to bring Appy back on. Cookie wasn't doing a hell of a lot of defence, so he wasn't real gassed, and it wasn't like he was struggling out there. So why not keep him fresh? Let him sit on the pine. He did his job in the first sort of 25, 30 minutes. And I think across the park, everyone was pretty good. As we said, Tedesco did more for New South Wales by doing less. And I think that's how he needs to play going forward. It's probably what he needs to do back in club land as well. Let some other people do some shit rather than trying to be the hero. And yeah, man, I don't think there's many changes I'd make. I still think I'd take out Liam Martin and or Talakai. I don't care which one. One of the two, and bring in Olokowatu if he wants to play for New South Wales. I just think he offers a little bit more in the way of a dynamic game than either of the other two. Talakai's obviously got a little bit more to his game than Martin, but Martin's like that energy guy. He's a straight runner. Runs hard, got aggression, and as Lugie and I spoke about just before we kicked off, he's probably a perfect 17 to bring on with that energy and aggression, sort of when everyone's getting a bit flat. So I wouldn't mind if Talakai dropped off the bench. He probably won't. Freddie's probably not going to make any changes, but yeah, that's the only change I'd make. I'd drop Talakai off the bench, drop Liam Martin back to the 17, and probably bring Olokowatu into the starting side.
I guess the problem with doing that is what you've just done is you've had success dropping back into that Penrith structure.
Yeah.
So to bring Olokowatu in there, and he is completely opposite to what Penrith run. They like they like their edges to be front foot. And you look at Kikau these days, he plays up tempo, he ball plays, he plays on the front foot. He's not an early ball back rower anymore, and I think that's what happens with you when you get Olakau'atu. He's an early ball back rower, so you're probably going to make that right side attack a bit clunky there.
I see where you're coming from. I just think it's a play. You could, even if you drop Talakai off the bench and put Olakau'atu on the bench and give him some time out there, yes, and leave Martin in that role where he was playing. I just think he needs to play because of what he offers in the way of a dynamic back row game.
The thing with Appy and the starting thing that makes so much sense is that Appy can play a lot of tempos. If your team's on the front foot and rolling, he can play fast out of dummy half. But if your team's getting dominated and they're holding you down, with all of his nice little sleight of hand and his head fakes and double pumps and fake one side, come out the other and play back the other side of the rope, all that trickery that he does, he actually creates time for his runners. So even if the first couple of tackles of the set are in the defense's favor and they're starting to put pressure on, he then relieves with all of his trickery and it just opens the game up a bit. And so then what that does is allow Cook to come on and play his fast up-tempo footy. But his fast up-tempo footy doesn't work when they're getting strangled by the defense, because he just gets out and then he's tackled and no one's with him because the defense can dominate him. So I think Appy there, he just reads the game and the tempo of the game so well. And if it's not in their favor, he does little things to get it that way. But if it is in their favor, he plays off the front foot and he just brings his runners into it so nicely. Whereas we know Cook is all about speed and getting out and trying to, you know, get the defense to react. So I think it's a nice little dynamic. And then you've also got Appy there to cover a sort of middle if need be for an injury.
Yeah, there was a nice little moment. I think it was probably about 20 minutes in where he's New South Wales on halfway attacking us, and he's jumped out, did his kind of double pump where he dummies, looks away and does the no-look pass, and he found Isaiah Yeo, who obviously kind of knew to push through that line, and it just held the defence on long enough so both tacklers had hit Yeo low, allowed a quick play of the ball, and they just played footy off the back of it. It was pretty good to watch. And that's the kind of thing that he does. You know, what you're talking about with his trickery is just be able to manipulate A, B, and marker just enough to kind of get his runners enough through the line so they're winning play the balls and just kind of win that ascendancy back. So,
and the irony about that was is that Cameron Smith was actually talking about that exact thing.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Three tackles leading up for it, and then two tackles later he did it and he went, yep, oh, there you go, right on cue. And yeah, it was perfect. So I think it's a master stroke, but I think a lot of people knew that he probably should have been there from game one. So there's no surprises that New South Wales dominated the ruck, especially with him in the game.
Yep, absolutely. So 44-12, I think it ended up. And look, I think, Queensland will be prepared for the decider in a few weeks' time. Don't have a great record over there now in Perth. I think that's 0-2.
Yeah, 0-2.
Yeah, right.
Because all the games last year were in Queensland.
Yeah, that was so the first game since 2019.
Over in Perth, yeah.
Yep.
So
yep.
The last one was when Trbojevic scored a hattie.
Yeah, yeah.
When Turbo scored a hattie. So, we'll be prepared. Suncorp's coming back up to Suncorp is going to be like having a 14th player on the field for us. But I think New South Wales, when they're playing downhill, are lethal, and we need to figure out a way to stop it. I think Billy's going to have to figure some stuff out because, it can't all be on the 10 minutes in the sin bin from Kafusi. I think there was some poor ball handling and some missed tackles. I think we've got to get better at it. It looked like it was pretty slippery over there too.
Yeah, it did. They said that early in the game when Teddy was slipping over a bit, but a lot of the other people, not other players, managed to keep their feet. But yeah, it didn't look like real clean over there. Might have been real dewy. I reckon it was only about 18 degrees, so it wasn't super cold. But
Yeah, right. There was one of the Cleary tries. I think maybe the second try where Ben Hunt ended up on his ass, and then then Ponga ended up on his ass as well. So, good performance for Queensland, Lukey. I'd probably have to say, look, Ponga was outstanding in the first half. They probably needed to try and get him more involved. Somehow, especially early in the second, didn't have a lot of pill. But obviously there was a couple of instances when, look, you know, he sticks his nose through nearly every time he touches the ball because he hits the ball with so much speed. I thought he was really, really good. You mentioned like our back kind of five, as a whole were pretty solid. What'd you make of our halves?
Cherry Evans really didn't do anything. There was an opportunity where he had to spread it in the first half and he didn't pass it. And it was just like, oh, like that's an opportunity to bend the defensive line right there. But he dummies and goes himself. And then they just get a two-man tackle on him. And I'm just like, oh, that's a critical error from a halfback. You've got to know when to give it, to give your outset. Like, you're not going to break the line, man. But your centre might, your winger might, like... They have the ability to beat tackles. You don't. You have to actually just get a clean line break. And it's just like, nah, that's not great from Cherry Evans. His kicking, it was okay without being spectacular. Munster, he tried really hard and he did a few things early that looked like he was going to have another game, including the try. But, you know, on the back of, you know, Queensland being dominated, he just really wasn't in the game. So it was sort of hard for him to get any sort of... I guess claws in the contest, but you know I think Ponga sort of was the dominant half, to so to speak, in this game. The ball player, the playmaker, anyway. So yeah,
they kept Harry Grant pretty quiet,
but that's what happens when you dominate the ruck, and they did. They did dominate the ruck, and I guess the thing is, I don't know how you dominate the ruck with fucking Tabojevic. He's a legs tackler.
Yeah.
But how do you dominate the ruck when he's tackling the first man in? But, you know, somehow it gets... But, and we just couldn't get Harry Grant playing off the front foot of it, so... But, look, I thought Lindsay Collins was great again. There was a stint when Kafusi was in the bin and New South Wales shifted it down their left edge and it was off one of our turnovers. And it looked for all money that you were going to score and Lindsay Collins hustled his ass over to get... in front of Luai and then slide off Luai into Crichton and they come back infield and Tuo almost scored. That's when he was like tackled a meter out, but the lead up there from Collins to get over there and push him in, and then he was involved in like three tackles in the rest of that set. I thought, fuck, that's a phenomenal effort from him. So I was really, really impressed with how he played. Carrigan was good again. Taulagi I thought was really solid on debut. But there was just no standouts. There was just no one who really, apart from Ponga, I'd say. But if Ponga's in New South Wales, you know, he's probably the fourth, fifth best player on that performance.
On his current performance, yeah, yeah. Possibly. I mean, you know, directly responsible for our two tries. And again, his speed worries the edges,
yeah,
and I think we need to figure out how to get him involved a little bit more.
Yep.
Look, I think with Munster, right, like Munster's extremely good against broken attack and not set defensive lines, and that's what New South Wales were dishing up in the first game. They had a plan to get at him and cut down his time with the footy, and it almost takes him right out of the game. Because although Melbourne are one of the most structured teams in the league, when he's playing in structure, he's got other blokes outside. He's got weapons everywhere that are just kind of turning up in like Pappenhausen, and you've got Hughes, Harry Grant's pushing the ball forward. But when that's not happening, it's very hard for Munster to do his thing because he relies a lot on ad-lib footy. And, you know... set defensive line and a defensive line that's always moving forward, at him, he really struggles with. So one thing he's got to stop doing, though, he's got to stop shooting out the fucking line.
That's how they defend.
He's not getting it right. He's either, and they called it a couple of times on the telecast, he's shooting up and he's not sticking the tackle. So therefore he's just... putting pressure on the defenders either side of him, or he mistimes it and he's not getting up quick enough, and therefore the ball's beating him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they've got to work harder on. And probably to New South Wales' credit, they probably set themselves a lot deeper knowing that's how Queensland were able to shut down Cleary and that kind of shifting play in the first game.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the thing with Munster is that if he's your best player and he's getting the ball one or two off the ruck, and when you're not dominating the ruck, yeah, defences are in your face. And that's when they need to know to bring Ponga into it. Get him some shape out the back with some footy, with some distance between him and the defensive line, and see what he can do then, you know. And Munster just needs to pass for the first half, you know. Just get defences thinking it's the Ponga show. And then that's when Harry Grant and Munster can come back in and take the ruck over in the second half when, you know, markers and A defenders, B defenders are starting to push early because they know Ponga's getting it out the back. So they're pushing off the first, you know, receivers early to get to Ponga, get him up in the middle there. But, you know, I mean, it's easy to say that in retrospect. But, I just think you're 100% right, D-Lane. We've got an absolute weapon in Ponga out the back, and he just doesn't see enough footy.
Or in the right areas. Sometimes I think we just kind of, like, push it onto him and kind of go, can you come up with something? And obviously that Kafusi try, that was an example of it. He just kind of found himself outside Cherry Evans, who just tipped onto him, and then his speed and ball playing kind of did the rest. But I think we have to plan for him a little bit better. Benny, in terms of New South Wales, mate, who do you reckon, who was your best?
I've got Cleary as my best, closely followed by Matty Burton, and then there's quite a few others right there as well, but I'll probably have to go Cleary, just the way he managed the game, and obviously iced it when the opportunity came.
There was a lot of, I think, stats and stuff that might have only happened for the first time in this game. 60 missed tackles, the possession. Another first, have you ever seen a bomb go up that fucking high from Matty Burton? That was the highest fucking kick ever recorded. It would have gone close to going out of the fucking stadium.
Oh, it would have gone out of the stadium. He kicks him out of the stadium every week, that prick, man. And it doesn't look like he's even trying.
It's fairly easy.
We were saying, Penrith. I reckon it looked like a shank initially off the boot. It just didn't look clean. And then it just kept going up and up. And you're like, nah, this ain't a shank. He's middled that. That's why it sounded so loud. You know, he just...
But I think it was on the close-up of the ball.
Yeah.
You know how it went from shadow back into light?
Yes.
I was like, that's gone up over the lights. That fucking thing has gone up over the lights.
Yeah.
And I you know, Tuolungi did well just to get a hand on it, I think. But even though he spilt it backwards.
He also did well not to commit to it. He was just like, you know what, if it comes near me, I might try and catch it. And that's why his sort of hands were near it. But he wanted none of it. And you know what, it's probably not a bad play because it's going to bounce so viciously anyway that, you know, it's going to be a pretty tough ball to gather in for either side. So, yeah, he did okay in that regard. And Ponga got to him afterwards and was like, yeah, fucking oath, man, that was the play. Just to, because there's probably one man alive, and I don't even know who it is, that could catch that ball. It's like the percentages of being able to get that was just very low.
It was like a hybrid hanger / torpedo / floater. It was just doing like mystical things in the air and shit. It was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I think it's going to, if we end up on the back foot up here in Brizzy, I think it's going to be a go-to. If we get in anywhere inside Queensland's half, you just got to give it to Burton. Just get him playing at six for that set, and I can just put them rockets up into the air and hopefully one of them just goes our way.
Which it will. More
it's
often
an option.
Than
like
not,
it's so. An option. It's just like a plan B. Like Cleary's box kits obviously is plan A, but if it's not working, Queensland are still finding easy meters out of their own end. To me, the next logical thing is just give it to Matty and let him put them in the air.
Yeah, but he has to do it from inside your half though. Because if he does it anywhere near halfway and over, he'll just boot the fucking thing dead. He needs at least 60 metres of grass in between him and his target, I reckon.
It's so big, isn't it?
It just... Unbelievable. But yeah, it was a secret weapon. And I think the important thing was they didn't advertise it too. He kicked on short sides a lot. Instead of him kind of being first receiver, easy to man up on. I was listening to a podcast during the week and Cameron Smith was kind of calling that out and saying, you know, if you see Matty Burton on the open side, you know that he's kicking, especially if he's first off. But they didn't do that. So it disguised it well, made it hard for Queensland to put pressure on him. That's for sure. So, lads, probably not too much else to say about it, to be fair. You know, it was a one-sided affair. New South Wales take it out 44 points to 12. Force a decider up in Queensland in a couple of weeks' time. I think maybe a couple of changes for Queensland. I don't see Reuben Cotter being back. I think he's had the red marker put through him already for game two, or are they kind of touch and go with him?
I don't think he's making it back, to be fair.
It'd be a risk to play him too. Mm-hmm. Take a bloke in like that and he busts his hammy pings after 10 minutes and then you leave yourself pretty short. So, but yeah, I think we need a bit more starch somewhere in the pack. Someone with a bit of top end, someone who can give us a bit of tackle busting ability and stuff like that. Maybe Fifita's that guy, but I think we've got to come up with something else in the meantime. Lads, before we go, the rep round, success, failure, how'd you see it?
Oh, it's always a success. It's always good. It's a real shame for me that England can't be available for this round. It's an international rugby league round, and it's obviously it's going to be the last one because they're taking Origin away from Sunday night as of next year. It's going back to
Wednesdays yeah.
Every 2 weeks, which is disappointing, but look, New Zealand really have to be playing England. If it's a rep round and it's just one round of representative football, you've got to have New Zealand playing England. You've got to have Samoa playing Tonga. Look, the Cook Islands, they're probably just not there yet to me. They're just not there as an established nation to be playing in
you
this
could play,
sort
You
of
could
thing.
Play Cookies against Fiji. Fiji look pretty average, like Cookies versus Fiji, and then put...
Who plays Papua New Guinea?
Yeah, I know. You've got to have PNG. But if you don't get England over here, which
and
they
then,
haven't...
Then Cook Island come in. You know, that's probably
yeah.
where they...
If you don't get England over here, you play Cookies against Fiji and then PNG against Tonga, and Samoa look better than Tonga, to be honest.
It's just the fucking Lebanon ain't shit. I mean, Lebanon should be... I reckon Lebanon would fucking almost give it to Cook Island. I think that they probably need to be looked at as well. They're starting to sort of establish themselves and
well,
got some NRL talent.
Well, the thing is too, and a team like Lebanon gets like Dewey, Moses, I think, at the
Twal,
World Cup.
Probably wouldn't Twal. Get but if Twal's concussion things are all right.
But you know what I mean? Like they
yeah,
they
Mansell,
get those play,
yep.
different makes it a different side, completely different side. So but interesting. Women's Origin, lads, each year this football game gets better and better, and I'm glad that next year they've decided to turn it into a multi-game format, but it's still only two games. Surely it's got to be a best
surely,
out of three.
Surely it's one or three. Like, it can't be
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
You can't
What's
make it two?
Two. Yeah. What does it mean? You got to win two? Otherwise, the split just goes to the team who won it
who
last
year. Who won it last
year?
Year.
Is that,
yeah.
Is that
You'd
how
think
it,
so.
Which is ridiculous.
Unless like, it goes on points scored, maybe points for and against or whatever. I don't know.
So they got 12,000 people to that game,
bullshit.
Right? Down in Canberra.
They didn't. And I'm not having a go.
Sorry. No, it was I think it was only 11,000.
It was only 11, but I don't even think they got 11,000, man.
But right, okay. Let's say they did. Let's just say they did. And you know, you look at Brookvale on a pissing down Friday night and there's a bloke with his dog there and they go 15,000 a brookie. Like, we know they fudge the crowd numbers, but let's say there's 11,000 there. Right, there's NRL games that don't pull that.
Oh, 100%.
So why wouldn't you run three of them purely for the numbers in places where you're going to get a better crowd than Saturday night in Canberra at -5?
Well, that was my point, is that they got shit numbers, not because the product's shit. The product's good enough to take to a capital city where it's a bit warmer and people will go. You know what I mean? Like, that they could have had 15,000 to 17,000 if they took it to Sydney, Brisbane, or somewhere like Townsville, somewhere like even Newcastle, you know, somewhere where, it, like Canberra, like why would you want to go out? It's 0 degrees, like, yeah. I just think they're selling the women short doing that. Like, it's great to take footy to the country, but when you're trying to develop a game, like the NRL's already developed, so we can, this sounds harsh, but throw the country a bone, like it, and it's not going to damage the product too much from a attendance point of view, but when you're trying to get people through the doors, you're doing the women a disservice in Canberra. I reckon they almost double that at a capital city.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point too, but needless to say, the spectacle is quite good.
100%.
Yeah, and it's getting better and better. Lukey, you were saying that like you can tell the skill sets of the women are starting to become really sharp compared to where they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. The product is becoming legit quality football. And you can see that in the shapes that they run, a lot of their game plans and things like that. So, yeah, it's really enjoyable to watch. Unfortunately, Queensland didn't get the Chockies the other night either. But there's definitely some characters starting to develop in the game. Isabel Kelly, isn't she a machine? She was fantastic the other night for the Blues. I thought she was really, really good. Caitlin Johnson, Newcastle Knights front rower, she was pretty good when she came on too. For Queensland, I can't remember the name of our 5'8".
Taryn Aiken,
yeah, where she skinned. Yeah, she skinned one of the was it
the Blues halfback? It was.
Yeah. From the scrum base, yeah, she was really good as well. And Upton was pretty good at the back there, but they kept her pretty quiet for most of the game as well. But she had some nice touches, you know, throughout the course of the game as well. So yeah, a really good product. It was really, really enjoyable to watch. And in terms of the rep round, look, I think the games are probably a little bit lopsided, which was a bit disappointing, but the carnival itself, or the weekend itself is always good to celebrate. And it was just a beast of a crowd over there at Mount Smart too, mostly all Tongans. But it was huge, so it was good to see the game go back there as well.
I think New Zealand's come a long way from like their team structure from sort of years gone by when they weren't really competitive. Going back to when SJ was in his prime and he had Benji alongside him, those were sort of, you know, every game was tough for Australia. And I think Brown and Hughes can sort of bring back that halves pairing, that really dominant lead halves pairing that they need. So it's good to see that from New Zealand. They were good against Tonga, and hopefully come the World Cup, they put the best foot forward and go deep into the finals.
Joey Manu, what a fucking freak.
He's a freak, isn't he? How do you stop
Unbelievable.
Him, man?
Unbelievable.
398 metres or something?
Just insane, man. Just
that's nuts.
I saw a tweet today, or it's a meme actually, just, and it was that saying on your rearview mirror, things may seem appear closer than what they are, and it's Tedesco looking in the mirror and Joey Manu's coming up. And I was like, yeah man, I mean, come on.
Just put Teddy in where Connor Watson is.
Put Teddy at 6, man. Walker, yeah. 7, Teddy at 6, you know, who knows, man. Just, but Joey Manu is, he's a top 5 fullback in the league if he plays fullback at a club. That's the thing. That's a scary thing. It's, yeah.
I think he's a little bit like Teddy, where he likes the ball can die with him. I did notice yesterday, it was when Fisher Harris made that break and he got tackled right before the line. They had about 4 men over. Manu jumps into dummy half and tries to barge over himself. Now, 9 times out of 10, he probably scores that try, right? Because he's Joey Manu, he's a massive unit. But he didn't. And I was just like, oh, that's the kind of shit you got to get out of your game. If you've got to play, you've got to play to it. If you've got like a call overridden, or, you know, got to set, he's got to be able to play to it. And that's where you don't want him to be too ad-lib, that he can't actually, because that's what where the Roosters are having problems with Teddy at the moment. They can't fit him into structure. And on pure raw ability, Manu is a freak. Like, he just creates opportunities where there isn't none. But I think he's got to learn to just kind of sit in the structure and not try and overplay his hands a lot, because Benny, like, you know, it's almost Paul Gallinari sometimes when you get a guy like that and the ball can just die with him.
Mm-hmm. Let's not talk too much about Paul Gallen and what he did at the end of his career for both New South Wales and Cronulla.
He went to just the Teddy man. It's like the Gallen mentality that Teddy's got.
I've got to have the ball. I've got to do it. It's going to be me. Yep. And as I said, he's got to stop trying to be the hero. Like, mate, there's no arguments that James Tedesco is probably one of the most talented players that we've had come through the NRL in many, many years.
Yes.
He's up there with the best, right?
Yeah.
And
the second best fullback since Slater.
Oh, yes. Like, yeah, for consistency and a long period of time. Yeah,
the best fullback since Slater.
Obviously, there's players coming through now that are going to test that as well. But he just doesn't... In a New South Wales side, he doesn't need to be the it guy. It's not all going to ride on Teddy. So I just think if he wants to do that, go back to the Tigers, because he doesn't need to do it at the Roosters either. So it's... Yeah, look, man, for the rep round, I think it's proving the teams with some established halves are going to be the teams that succeed at the World Cup, to be honest. So, obviously, Lockie Lamb looked really good, man. He looked fucking good.
I know sometimes you see these guys when they play for their country and they look like superstars and you wonder, you know, what... But surely there's a... I can think of a couple of teams that could use a Lockie Lamb at the moment, and we are one of them. The Knights are one of them. I would happily just... chuck him a Guernsey and go, look, man, see what you can do, because we haven't hit on too many halfbacks over the course of the season so far, and he just looks like he's got it. He just needs a crack. He needs a team to kind of throw him the keys, maybe, even if it's for a season.
Yeah, I agree. He's got a bit of Cade Cust sort of areas about him where he's just, you know, sort of got all the skill set, willing to have a crack, and he's going to make errors. That's the type of game he's got, where he's sort of like high risk, high reward type play. But man, you know, fucking that's Cody Walker, but he's also disciplined enough to display in the structure as well, you know. He should be playing first grade somewhere, I think.
He could slot in the South. He could slot in somewhere with the Warriors. Could have definitely used him at some point this year.
The Dolphins, how have they not?
Well, the Dolphins, Knights could have used him this year as well. Titans at various points could have had a crack at him. Canberra. I think Schneider did a fucking great job in Fogarty's absence. But there's definitely some teams that could have used him. So, yeah, he definitely stood up. I agree, Benny. He stood up yesterday and was pretty good. So I
thought Sonny Taruva for Fiji was pretty good too. Thought it was a young bloke who's going to have a lot of eyes on him now.
Yeah, well, he just re-signed for Penrith for another 2 years, so... Suck shit. Yeah. Everyone else.
He's just behind Dylan Edwards.
He'll play in the next couple of years, I reckon. He'll play centre. We'll move Tago to the second row, and he'll come in at centre, because he's played a fair bit of centre as well in Reggie's. So, that's where I think we'll see him. And, you know, what happens, happens.
Is Samoa... pretty much leaps and bounds ahead of Tonga now, with the players they've got to come back from Origin for the World Cup. To me, Samoa's third behind.
But apparently they don't want to play if Matt Parrish is the coach.
Ooh. Okay.
Is what I heard this week.
Yeah, right. Bit of a rip.
So, yes. Yeah. So that's like...
Well, they've always underachieved.
Luai Polo?
To'o.
Yeah.
And Crichton.
They don't want to play if Matt
along
Parrish
with Tago, May, Chanel Harris-Tavita, Anthony Milford, mate, that's a gun side.
Was
Tavanga played for him?
In the nine, yeah.
Like, I believe so.
Yeah.
They've got a good side. I think they're third behind New Zealand and Australia now. I honestly reckon Samoa could beat England.
Yep.
Yeah, they probably could. They probably could full strength. Very much so. So, very good. All right, lads, that probably wraps us up. Our post-game chat, bit of dribble there after the game, but it was kind of done and dusted by about the 55th minute, I think it was, something around then. And as we said, 44-12 to New South Wales, back up here for a decider in about 2 to 3 weeks' time. So, all right, lads, so we'll be jumping on again tomorrow night back into round 16, heading into do our waivers and our episode... or our round 16 show. So jump back on with us then. Until then, lads, see you later.
Cheers, boys.
Catch you, boys.